Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky, and football season is here. And you know what that means. It means Baldy, Brian Baldinger, every Tuesday, 7:30, all season long. Now back to Steiny and Goo. Yo, Steiny, get off the fence, Humpty Dumpty, and start spitting some of that real, real.
That's the one I was waiting for.
You can't tell me Butch is not a former rapper. I know he spit some bars and ciphers.
That's the one I was waiting for.
In his life, there's no doubt. That real, real, E.
Yeah, it's... whatever that means.
Stop being a little cat.
Well, the real real is, am I putting too much on the Bosa situation? Like, I'm not, he has to be a beast.
Well, he's the person that you are most worried about, correct?
Yeah. He surpassed Kittle.
And, well, is it just because he's still out?
Yeah.
Because he's not on the practice
right
field?
Adam, Vic Tafer said he hadn't practiced.
Well, he's
and
not
then
out
that
there
tendonitis
again
popped up in the same surgically repaired knee.
This
like,
is
man.
This is the last practice before they get on the road to Las Vegas to play the Raiders on Thursday, their final preseason game. Nick Bosa is not practicing. And the biggest question that I have about the Niners and their, again, kind of you know, top-heavy, fragile talent is it's 97. It has to be. Because I also, and I know that Robert Saleh did a fantastic job with the Niners defense last year.
I mean, man.
And got about every ounce of magic he could out of a group that was broken, young,
you preach it,
inexperienced. I don't have that same faith in Raheem Morris yet. I know that he is a talented defensive play caller.
No, right.
I know that he's obviously got head coaching experience, was a leader of... of a defensive unit of the Rams that was good before his stop in Atlanta. I know he's a smart guy, but if he gets dealt the same hand that Robert Saleh was last year, I don't have the same confidence that he can just wave his magic wand in this defense, play out of its mind the way it did at times last year.
Well, and I get all that, I feel it, but the bottom line is at least he's got 54. Back, and that's Fred Warner, Green Dot, Raheem Morris, that is. And I just assumed, Evan, and again, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope Bosa's out there week one and has a fantastic season. But, man, you know, 2021 he had 15.5 sacks, followed that up 18.5, and then 10.5, 9, and then obviously getting hurt last year with 2. And we're just talking about, can they hang on? You're asking me those questions. You're in a division with two, if not two of the best teams in football. And you look at what they have, both of those teams in the Rams and Seattle at their disposal. And we're talking about the Niners defensive line that after last year, last in sacks, you kind of want to make some noise and get after it. And I'm just sounding the drum of, okay, are we really going to think he's not going to practice and partake in the preseason, which I get. But, man, what have we missed in regard to the possibility? Here we go. It's Thursday. Everybody's watching. The Niners, let's get it. Let's show us where you're at. And then 97 not be a part of that. I would be shocked. And then petrified on what that means for him on a personal basis.
Well, why on a personal basis?
Like, how available is he going to be if he can't be there for week one? What, you know, what's that saying about the leg or the knee?
Well, it means he needs more time. And it means that after tearing it pretty early in last year's season, that his timeline is not the same as George Kittle's. That George Kittle...
And I guess I'm learning that.
And by the way, I think I said before the break that he was seen on the side. On our 95.7 The Game social channels was videoed running routes.
Kittle.
George Kittle was.
All right. Well, that's a good thing.
All right, but here's Kyle Shanahan. He just spoke at the podium moments ago, addressed a myriad of subjects, including kind of the big one from the weekend, and the owner, Jed York. And here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say.
Yeah, I got to talk to Jed the last 2 days and today. Obviously, it's a very tough situation. I mean, views for the organization going forward is the same as usual. I mean, there won't be any difference in that. But I know it's extremely fresh. I think it's a very, very personal situation. I got a lot of respect for Jed. I got a lot of respect for Danielle. Their family does mean a lot to me. So I'm like, with it being this personal, I'm trying as hard as I can to keep it that way.
So there's Kyle Shanahan talking about the owner.
He cares about respect. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Kyle Shanahan also, it's not exactly the same thing. But Shanahan also dealt with a lot of personal stuff this offseason, having gone through his car accident and I'm sure the aftermath of that and, you know, basically taking ownership for what went down, phone dropped. And, you know, I think that this organization in many ways is glued together by Kyle. Like, before Kyle Shanahan got here, it was largely in disarray. People were not thinking about the Niners as the crown jewel of Bay Area sports. And I think Kyle Shanahan took them from that spot to now where, Kyle Shanahan is taken up for the owner. I think they have a good personal relationship. This is going to be his 10th season. You know, Kyle Shanahan has almost as many playoff wins, not Super Bowls, but he has almost as many playoff wins as Bill Walsh. Like, Kyle Shanahan has been here for a very, very long time, and I think he probably feels some sort of, not debt, but he's got to have Jed York's back.
Because to be honest, like you said, I forget the date, but when Kyle got, when his accident happened, it kind of was the same thing. Again, it was a mistake, dropping your phone or whatnot. But, Evan, when you hear that, do you change your what was number one on your list in regard to York and this being a distraction in regard to the offseason after you hear Kyle address it that way, which he addressed it exactly how I thought he was going to. You know, he's friend, family. You know, we got his back. I talked to him. Not much more to say after that. But you talked about giving Kyle that I called it a hell of a compliment. By keeping this thing together, he's the glue. Do you feel more relieved now about the whole Jed York situation kind of being, something that could not tear away at the team, but outside of a bad look, I don't know how it's going to have a bad impact on the field, especially led by Kyle.
I mean, I think Shanahan's a big reason as to why it's not going to impact much and why this won't have a huge effect on the football team. Here's Kyle Shanahan, more from the head coach of the 49ers, who, again, earlier today after practice was asked about Jed York and his arrest this weekend. Here's what he had to say about how things will continue to go.
No, it's the same as always. I mean, Jed has been as good as it gets since I've been here on letting the football people make football decisions. I mean, Jed always wants to be informed and a part of things, but Jed has been exactly what he said he would be and letting us make those decisions. And he always wants to know about them and stuff. And whether he's here in the building or a text away or on a phone call, that doesn't change anything.
So it sounds like, I mean, again, this is Kyle Shanahan. I don't think this was in his job description, but he's being tasked right now with doing some damage control, speaking about what's going on behind the scenes, and he's telling you, we're just going to keep moving forward. Nothing changes.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I do believe he has a real relationship with York. Obviously, York hired him, but the bottom line is, Evan, you could say all the dog and pony stuff you want at work, and I love everybody, and I got this relationship with Evan, but you really never truly know how real it is until somebody's in a situation that they didn't put themselves in, that happened to, they stumble upon. But right there is Kyle Shanahan having his brother's back, and I'm calling Jed his brother in this case, and you could tell he's sick for him. But after that, what do you do if you're Kyle? But what he said, it's not going to change our everyday, how we prepare for this season and game moving forward.
And then will Jed York be away from the team, I'm assuming, to start the year?
I mean, it's been like that this summer anyways, with him being out in Ohio and things like that. So there'd be no difference right now. He hasn't been here for training camp.
Status quo from Kyle. And then this is on how players will potentially deal with answering questions about the owner of the 49ers.
Yeah, you got to always be smart when you have situations like that, just not make it more, not make yourself a part of it. But that's what these guys deal with their whole careers. I mean, they got cameras in them all the time. They got cameras in their face right after games when they're not feeling right or something very emotional could have happened. You know, when dealing with, I feel something like this is actually easier for them than some of the stuff they have to deal with in the heat of battle with things more personal to themselves.
I think that this is where the 49ers should feel fortunate to have Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, because if they were not as well versed in the NFL world, not just because of their experience, you know, with the Niners themselves, but just John Lynch as a player, a Hall of Fame talent, now obviously a general manager, Kyle Shanahan growing up in the game and being a coordinator from the time that he was in his early 20s now to where he's going on a 10-year head coach, I think this would be a little more difficult to handle. And I think that their ability to not make this go away, but to forge on, highlights just how good they are at the other things outside of football. And go again at how fortunate the Niners are that those are the two men in charge.
Yeah, and I'll say this to that, Evan. I feel like that's their job description. And you know, this is a situation. He definitely, Kyle, didn't open Pandora's box. And why would he do that? But the bottom line was, that was like, you know, State of the Union from the president or anybody on the president's staff saying we got it under control. And I do believe that. But, Evan, tell me if I'm wrong or being nosy. I assume Jed York, just as owner, is here in the Bay Area all the time. Him in Cleveland, it sounds like that's been for a while. I thought that was odd. Now, you can say, Goo, why is that odd? But the team that he owns and practices and does their thing, getting ready for the seasons in the Bay. I don't know how long he's been in Ohio. I thought that was odd.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y. And if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Shanahan just said basically he, you know, Jed wants to be kept abreast about what happens, but he's pretty hands off. So yeah, maybe that's the way he likes it. It's like, hey, I'll be out there for games and
right, I'm,
you know, happy to let you guys kind of run the show.
Mm.
But I think Jed probably learned from his early time being involved, you know, especially during the Harbaugh years. It's like maybe it isn't always the best to be just in the mix with everything. And it doesn't sound like that's who he is. It sounds like he does want to stay out of sight and out of mind. And it sounds like also that's how the relationship has worked best.
Mm. And that's how I'd want it to be if I were a coach, is, you know, the owner, don't meddle. Just handle your business. Let me know, you know, if what I need, can you help me with that? But Evan, I just got to say something, because you said, you know what, he's well-versed, Kyle. But I got to believe, and I got to be careful here, that wasn't easier for him to do, Kyle. But the fact that he was in some, we'll call it hot water, or people had questions about his situation, he kind of just went through that. Obviously, different subject matters. But, man, I thought he handled that smooth. We got it. It won't affect the team, and we keep moving.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and NT1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. We started the show talking about some of the things that have made this a difficult, maybe for some, a borderline disastrous offseason for the Niners. The owner, the car accident, Ayuk stuff, the anxiety of age with the Niners. But when you hear Kyle address that issue with Jed York and, you know, kind of just shoot everything down, talking about his players and reminding them that they don't want to make themselves a story the way that Jed York kind of did. Like,
and Kyle, to that matter.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan. I mean, I think he also did a pretty good job diffusing his own situation, right? He was the one who said, actually, this is wrong. I was at fault.
Called the reporters in the office to give him that.
Yeah, and people can think what they think, and you know, there's always going to be speculation involved, but he did his best to defuse it. I think the Niners are trying to defuse this Jed York situation. Does that give you more confidence that this does just go away?
It does, in the sense that I don't want to you know, give out flowers because that's too strong. But why I told you when we started the show, was this a big deal? In my world, I didn't think it was a big deal in regard to what's going to happen between the coach and the players. And I hadn't, that was before we heard that sound, but that's, Evan, why I kind of felt that way. Because Kyle said it, it's real, it's possible. And I guess with a situation like this and his, you can't be fake. You got to just kind of tackle it, be real, and move on. And just hearing them say that now, I really feel like this won't derail them at all. This Jed York situation, which is the last situation that happened just a couple of days ago.
Do you think that if, I mean, I hate it, it's funny, like when I think of the Niners, I think of a front office that is stable, that has a lot of experience. And I guess my mind goes to the Giants because we saw the way that Buster Posey handled the Pride Night situation.
A debacle.
Wasn't good. You're seeing the way that the Niners are pretty much just shooting down any thought that their off-season issues, of which there's been a litany of, will become a distraction. I just think it's interesting comparing the two organizations and thinking about the way that they've handled them. Like, the Giants have not done a good job. And the Niners, it feels like, well, let me ask you this, Scoop. Do you think that some of the off-the-field stuff that the Giants have had to answer for has impacted their play on the field?
Man, they're so bad, I don't know how to gauge that. But I'll say this to you, Evan, and you ain't asking, so I'll let you down, but I'll give it to you anyway. I think they've alienated a portion of their fan base that is going to be hell to get them back. And I'll stand on that. That's how bad of a debacle and tone-deaf the Giants sounded when trying to do the right thing, shout-out Spike Lee, but not doing it in a presidential way that I feel like the Niners did for Kyle and Kyle doing for their owner. Like, I think that means something. So as far as the play on the field, I don't feel like that's why they're 25 under. I just feel like that wasn't up to the players the way that the Giants handled the Pride Night. That was on Buster, who should have been better. That was on people above Buster that should have known, hey, let me handle this. I'll speak. So I don't put that much on the players in regard to the Giants.
Yeah, I'm largely with you. I just think it's interesting that the Giants season has gone in such a poor direction. Does it have much effect on their play? Maybe not, but
I kind of wish the answer was yes, E, and then that could explain some of, you know, the lackluster play from the Giants. But I feel like, no, they're devoid of talent. That's a real, you got real major problems. But if you had told me it was kind of this public relation thing has sapped in or got to the players and that's why they weren't themselves, I kind of would feel better about where the Giants are, but I don't really feel that.
I mean, I don't know how it manifests, but you can't tell me that there weren't players on the Giants that felt ire from the fan base because of how Buster handled things in the public eye. Like, there were people who were protesting outside of Oracle Park who...
And are still mad.
Yeah. We talked to a few at the cafeteria when it happened who said, I'm not going to any more Giants games this year. You can't tell me that the players don't feel that from the fan base, especially at one of the best ballparks in the country, if not the best, one of usually the best home crowds in the major leagues. You can't tell me that they don't feel that. And it's not supposed to affect their play. But I think as human beings, you can't just ignore it. And so that's why, to bring it back to what Shanahan is talking about with Jed York, I do think that the way that the Niners are handling this, that's why I believe that it's not going to be as big of an issue. Because we've seen what happens when you don't handle it the right way, just months ago. And the way that this season for the Giants has totally spiraled. They're not as good as the Niners, but their season still has spiraled. Yeah. Meanwhile, the Niners are getting geared up for a year. Their owner does this 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before the season starts. And it already feels like Shanahan and Lynch and the entire team are going to be able to just put that behind them.
Yeah, and it's why I gave all the kudos to the Niners FO group as opposed to the Giants faceless group outside of Buster Posey, because that's what it feels like to me. But, yeah, Evan, I don't want to get too much. I don't want to give, you know, baskets of flowers to Kyle and John, or especially Kyle, because we just heard that sound. But it was kind of on brand of, man, just be real. Acknowledge, you know, the mistake. You got your brother's back. We understand it. He made a mistake. I'm talking about Jed York, the owner, and you keep moving. And that's exactly what he did.
And for those who didn't hear earlier, to me, this is kind of the most poignant part about Shanahan in regards to how it impacts his players, whether or not they have to answer questions about the owner.
Yeah, you got to always be smart when you have situations like that, just not make it more, not make yourself a part of it. But that's what these guys deal with their whole careers. I mean, they got cameras in them all the time. They got cameras in their face right after games when they're not feeling right or something very emotional could have happened. You know, when dealing with, I feel something like this is actually easier for them than some of the stuff they have to deal with in the heat of battle with things more personal to themselves.
Why do you feel like he thought it might be easier? Just because it's none of their business?
Yeah, and they got to worry about what they do to avoid those pitfalls or traps. But that's what message I got from them. Like, yeah, keep your head on the swivel, E. You know, there's stuff out here that, you know, you can make a wrong decision. And now we're talking about Evan Giddings, and we don't want that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one thing I'm still not fully on board yet with is that if they start to lose games, you know, I don't know if they'll be asked questions about it, Goo. You'd imagine that the media would get this out of the way the next week or so, or maybe it's when they're doing media and press in Australia. You know, I imagine if Brock Purdy goes back on the Pat McAfee show or is with Rich Eisen,
Pat,
someone will probably ask him about it. Hey, what's the temperature in the locker room? How are you guys feeling when you got the news? All that kind of stuff. And they'll downplay it. But if they start to lose games and if the season is not going the way they want, I do think it feels to me, Goo, like that's the way that this can stick with this team. That's what I would be skeptical.
But let me ask you this, E, and I'm asking you because I know who you are at heart. But do you think you're being fair with that assessment? Like I feel like you're on the sideline of, oh, if this happens, I can double back and say, oh, it was because of this. But if we know, and I believe I know who Kyle is at heart, and he's not perfect, but we know he's damn good at his job, I got to feel like, because I don't know if you do, I feel like the Shanahan accident is past us. So now we got a new episode of owner getting in trouble, two different subject matters. But if that derail him, and now Kyle's back to his superpowers, I don't think this one would derail him. If these dudes know how hard and savage the game is, and how much prep goes into it. Evan, I don't feel like the owner getting in trouble. And again, it was embarrassing. It was against the law in Ohio. But damn, I don't want to come off bad here. But, you know, nobody died. You know, he made a mistake. He's going to pay his price, the fines or whatnot. But as far as the ball club, you still got ample time to focus on your job and the Rams.
I mean, I'm not saying it's going to derail their season. The Shanahan accident may have had more of an ability to do that just because it impacts their head coach. But clearly it won't. Right. He's going to be on the sideline, and he looks like he's going to be fine. You know, my just thing is about the distraction of this. That's again, why I'm comparing the two teams of the Giants and the Niners, because I think the way they're dealing with this is totally different. The way they've dealt with distractions this season are totally different. And that's why a lot of Niners fans are just like, hell, that's fine. We're going to go play the Rams, and we'll be fine.
And they've had much more success, that outfit, the Niners, than the Giants. And
I don't think that's a coincidence.
Mm.
But
and it's not all on Buster, because he ain't been here the whole decade of the Giants' futility, man.
But that's the thing, though, is someone like Buster Posey is not equipped to handle a situation like this where you hear Kyle Shanahan is able to do it and just shut it all down. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll get into more sound from Kyle Shanahan, replay some stuff, but also there was a cut that he talked about his relationship with Jed and what made Jed York, kind of what makes their relationship and this 49ers team work together. So I want to play that coming up on the other side again when we return. 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation. Evan Giddings in for Matt Stein. Matt's with Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're back after this on Stein. Lemonade!
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
An ego.
On 95.7 again.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru.
Evan,
on 95.7 The Game.
Was I out?
94.7?
Evan, give it to me one more time, kitty. Steiny, I love you, baby. We know you're
we'll
not.
We'll be back to talk about it more on the other side on 94.7. 95.7. I'm looking at 94 something else. My bad. 95.7.
Oh, man. My man.
95.7 The Game.
Evan, I let you down. I was in a bad mood, but that brought me back.
That was pretty funny. Wait, you, Ken, you said I cut that?
I thought you did. Well, the funny thing is that Goo's laughing
that at all.
And Steiny in the cut says, stop. Stop, like he's talking to you.
Well, I had Leonard Floyd on the beer. So
is that what threw you off? Actually, I've noticed this when I'm behind the glass. It's a little easier. If Ken is the one that comes up, comes up with the game, but is at least able to just moderate, then it's a little easier.
Somebody's saying I'm calling you Evan Kenny. I'm not. I'm saying Evan and Kenny.
Yeah, that's. Oh, my gosh. No, I get what you're saying.
Oh, not, I hadn't heard the 94.
I hadn't heard the 94.7 either. I've heard the Chicago Tribune one, Sergio Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
John Shea was pretty bad.
My man.
Yeah, we've all had some guests. Yeah.
Streets are saying I might be in your seat Friday.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
All right.
Give me the keys, E.
Ken.
Yeah.
Give him the reads.
Yeah, we'll have a rear view mirror
Leave
on that
me
thing.
Alone.
We'll see.
Yeah. So can I show up at
whatever time, baby. Just be here by 10. Well, I got you.
Oh, no.
No, I'll be here early. It's okay.
Did you see Marcy this morning? She texted me. I was like, I hope Evan got in there.
Yeah, I've been doing them every single day.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, she texted me on the side and
what did you talk about today?
What did we talk about today? Oh. So, I guess there's some Disney panel that's been giving out characters to each football team. So, like, the Disney character for the San Francisco 49ers is Stinky Pete from Toy Story 2. Because he's a minor, like a 49er. Anyways, this is what we talked about in the, on Live 101. No? You never seen Toy Story?
I haven't. So, Stinky Pete.
Buzz Lightyear?
No.
Woody?
Is it worth going back to watch?
Not ringing a bell?
No. I didn't see it.
Well, that's fine. Did your kids ever see it?
Well, Tinkerbell. That's old school Disney.
Tinkerbell. That's Peter Pan, right?
Yeah. Look at my man. Good stuff. Yeah.
I don't think they were on a football team, but Woody was a Dallas Cowboy. So,
okay.
Anyways, we transition off of that. Ken, did you have something to add?
We can't hear you, buddy.
You got to turn your mic on.
You never seen Toy Story, Goo?
No.
At all?
Seen The Toy with Richard Pryor.
Oh, good movie.
Yep.
Never seen that
Jackie
one.
Jackie Gleason.
You've never seen that?
No, never have seen you? The Toy.
Yeah, Richard Pryor.
All right, I'll watch The Toy if you watch Toy Story.
I will do it.
Okay.
Will I like it, E? Seriously.
Yeah, you will.
All right.
Don Rickles is in it.
That's my guy.
Yeah. Yep. Voice of Mr. Potato Head. Although he wasn't given to a team. It's my favorite character.
He was great in Casino.
Yes, he was.
I need guys like that on my squad.
Shout out, Ginger.
Yeah.
All right. Back to Kyle Shanahan, who again was asked about a bunch of stuff post-practice. The last one the Niners have before they get set for their final preseason game against the Raiders. That'll be on Thursday. Much of it, of course, was about Jed York and can kind of help us get an idea of how much of a distraction or not that this is going to be the Niners. And we left off with Shanahan talking about how the players can deal with it. Well, let's just get right into it. Is this going to affect football? Kyle?
My view is, as the coach, does it have an effect on us as a team? And that's what I continue to answer on. From a football standpoint, it has no effect on us. I mean, as far as what we do day-to-day, what we talk about, and hasn't been mentioned in a meeting today, it doesn't have to do with what happens on the field. Everything outside of there, I think you guys can judge that better than me.
You know, how many times I got to tell you guys, hey, was this embarrassing? Was this bad? Was it against the law? Check, check, check. But, man, I just have a problem that, you know, trickling down to where guys are going to be thrown off or not be able to prep. So that's why I really believe he believes that as well, Kyle.
I think this is the reason why it's not going to have an issue for the 49ers. And it is because of Kyle Shanahan, and it's because of his relationship with the owner. I think Jed York has been a hands-off guy, and here's how Kyle described their relationship.
What people speak highly of, and how this is ran, I think it's ran from a complete football standpoint. I think that's what's refreshing here. We have a building that doesn't, you know, I've been a lot of places, but sometimes, you know, there's a bad article and you got to answer to people who aren't involved in football about how you feel about your defense coordinator. You get a punt blocked and there's bad articles and you got to answer to people about firing your special teams coach. Someone gives up something or they got to get a bad PFF grade and you got to answer to non-football people about who you're starting. I think that's what people love about this place. Jed's trusted over the football to people who are involved in football, and players feel that. I've been in too many other buildings where things do trickle down, and when they trickle down and things don't totally make sense, that wears on players also more than anything. I think here it's pretty black and white for them. They know it's always football decisions. Everything's always been football decisions, and because they know Jed's put us in charge of making those.
I think that's, to me, why this won't have any impact on the team, because Jed York doesn't involve himself with the football team. If he was a hands-on owner the way...
Let's say Jerry Jones
was.
Who got in trouble a couple years ago in the bathroom. Like, that was a real thing, embarrassing. But, Dallas, it didn't derail the play. I don't think it hit the players to where, yeah, we didn't have the greatest season. It was because of that.
No, but I do think that Jerry Jones having his fingerprints on the team, it's more of a distraction. Mm. Like, but because Jed York is largely in the background... And Kyle Shanahan, I think, is the first guy that most people associate with the Niners right now.
I'm with you. He was on the hot seat, if you want to call it that, just from, you know, people from the public eye where he put himself in a situation, and damn, it feels like it's over.
He didn't break the law.
I got you.
But, I mean, I don't think it ever really started when it came to football, but I mean, my point was, if you just put it under the umbrella of all the other things that have gone on this offseason, to me, there's just been a lot that the Niners have had to deal with that's been self-inflicted. That issues and mistakes or lack of judgment that's preventable. You know, is it going to manifest itself on third down? It may not, but I think it's because Jed York leaves Kyle Shanahan to his own devices. He leaves the team to their own, and that's why they're able to run without him, essentially.
Yeah. And this guy's been rough on me today, and I love the rough people. But Giants forever. I want to read this to you. Tell me what you think, because you played ball. You're not an athlete or a true competitor if you think this affects the players. It won't. The owner situation. But you kind of just elaborated on why you think him being hands-off makes this easier to be a non-story.
Yeah, and I think it also makes it easier for impact. Kyle Shanahan to take ownership of the team. You know, he's like, Jed York, what did he say, leaves the PFF grades?
Yeah.
He doesn't leave to the non-football people. He puts it in the hands of decision makers that know what to do. He leaves the defense to the defense coordinator. He leaves the offense to Kyle. He leaves personnel and roster decisions, assuming to Shanahan. He lets people that he's hired do their jobs.
It should go, man.
I think that's generally a good sign of a good boss.
Mm-hmm. It is. I've had him. I don't know. Like, on the fly, how many bosses have you truly had to where you are around them every day like you are in the Nahegan here?
Ooh. Well, I've had probably more than a lot of people my age, because at one point when I was moving around the country after college, I worked for a different minor league baseball team or sports entity every 6 months for 4 years. So I probably have had close to 15 to 20 bosses.
So you got experience.
Yeah, and not all of them are good.
And you got Nahegan, you ain't got to share it on those rankings.
Yeah, he's towards the top.
Yeah, he's at the top of mine. I've had some real ones, some ones I love, some I was like, my God, some that made me grow that I couldn't stand, and then later you leave them like, oh, that's what I, but we got a good one here.
So do you prefer the hands-on or hands-off type of approach?
I don't like the middleman. If I'm doing something, come to me, and that's what he does. So with Nahegan, I feel like if something's going on that I need to fix, there'll never be that that lack of communication. He'll be on your phone or you'll be in his office. I like that. Hands-on. That's what I call it. Not you. Some bosses let stuff fester and then 3 months down the road, yeah, I meant to tell you. You were, what? Like, if you would have told me this and been real with me, maybe this could have been fixed or rectified by the time we're just now, I'm finding out, you know, as employee that it was doing, something was off. Yeah. That makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would describe it as feel. You know, it's, I don't know, in baseball there's five tools. I was always told that the sixth tool is feel.
How many did you have?
Feel for a situation. Feel for when to step in. Feel for when to step away.
That's the man.
That to me is the hardest thing to figure out as a as an employer, yeah. General leader of people. And by the way, like no one's saying that Jed York is a good guy because he's a hands-off owner. He obviously made a huge mistake, and it's embarrassing, and it's going to be a stain, as we talked about yesterday. But I think what Kyle is describing is they're working in professional relationship, which has no bearing on Jed York, the person. That's the way that he likes it. That's the way that's allowed the 49ers to run best in recent years. And that's why they're going to be able, as a football team, put this behind.
Yeah. I'm with you. Now, I asked you how many tools of baseball of your playing really did you have?
For me?
Yeah. If we're being real.
I mean, that's why I'm doing this. No. not many.
But to the average guy, Evan, how you played college collegiate baseball.
Played Division III baseball. Yeah.
That's still college baseball.
Okay.
Did you have power?
No.
Speed?
Not really.
You look like you're fast.
Well, I could beat you in a race, but that's not. Oh, I'm just kidding. Right.
It ain't about me, Evan. How many tools would you say you had if you had to judge yourself?
I'll say this. Senior year, I only struck out twice.
So you were rich and real,
yeah. Yeah, like I could put the bat on the ball. I had a pretty good arm. I was smart. Yeah, I knew myself. I knew when I could steal a base. I knew when I could throw a pitch.
Okay.
I knew
so, Kenny,
when,
I'm counting about two tools.
I knew when to put barrel on ball. I did what the team did.
All right. I was just giving the Evan scouting report.
I was our leadoff hitter. I mean, hitter and number two pitcher. We had a number one guy who went to Oregon State, my buddy Kevin. He was really good. So,
damn.
Yeah, I wasn't the best guy on our team. But I was all right. Got it done back in my day. But feel, yeah. I had that tool. That's the one thing I did have.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Come on. He forced me to hype myself up. I swear that wasn't on purpose.
But you need that. You need to do that more. Know
who
I am?
Hey, get back to arguing now.
Not today.
Come on, Scott.
Yeah.
Leave us alone.
Scotty.
Don't make me pointed at you. All right. Here's Kyle Shanahan. Well, if you want some emotion, let's get back into his disdain for traveling to Australia. Why don't you want to go down under?
I mean, I would love to show up the day before and just play, but I'm not the best when it comes to the science and everything on that stuff. So you ask people who've done it a number of times, you ask people who study it, you take all their opinions in. We've been strongly recommended to, you know, when you got a 19-hour flight and it's a 16-hour something difference. I forgot because I haven't asked since we were making these decisions. But it's a big adjustment on the body. So the recommendation for everybody has been to tell us when to go, and it's made a lot of sense. And I know how our players feel also. I was a little bit on the fence. Science wasn't what I was reported on, and our players weren't at all. So that helped me get off the fence.
And he's talking about his, you know, like the travel schedule, essentially, for the 49ers and whether they would have wanted to go early or go later. Like, I just think it's so weird how opposite the 49ers and the Rams are approaching their trip down to Australia.
It's the world. We're all divided. They see it one way. They see it the other. But what if it were you? Which way would you want it? I want the week there to get acclimated to what I'm doing. I don't want to just get off the plane and then go have to play, get back on it, and jet out. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm not sure because, look, I think the whole point is that
the body clock.
Well, you want your body to get acclimated, but you're basically losing a day during travel. And so, because, right, you... Let me put it to you like this is how someone described it to me is you could sleep the entire flight down to Australia, right?
Okay.
But because you're losing so much time during the day, they're what, 18 or 19 hours ahead, you still have to catch up on that sleep
to
get your body right.
Can I do that the 6 days or the 5 days we're going to be there if I'm the Niners?
You can, You can, and I think that's why they're going.
Okay.
And the Rams are saying, we don't want our bodies to adjust at all. Like, we're just going to basically show and go, get in there, get out, and keep our bodies as close to the circadian rhythm as they had when they played in, American Los Angeles.
But isn't that a higher risk, though? Because, you still got to account for the plane ride. You know what I mean? Like, so you're losing that battle just getting there, and then you're going to get off and go right into combat?
It worked for him last year.
Hey, again, it's just guru math. I got it. Evan, I'm not a scientist, but I'm just like, man.
No, I think I would prefer the 49ers method.
Man.
But if the Rams beat them, and they're at a disadvantage because they have less rest, well, then maybe it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
We'll find. And you know this will have something to do with the outcome of the game, right? Well, they got it right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to change international travel for good, but I have to imagine that Rams have really smart people that work in their organization. Right. And it isn't like they're saying, well, we'll take 4 days or 3 days. It's like, no, actually, we're going down the day before and we're going to head on out. Meanwhile, Shanahan wants a full week. All right, here's another big subject that we've been tackling today, the subject of Nick Bosa. Hey, Kyle Shanahan, what's going on with 97?
He's doing good, hoping that he can get into practice next week, and we'll see how those 3 days go after the mandatory 3 days off.
What?
He's doing good, hoping that he can get into practice next week, and we'll see how those 3 days go after the mandatory 3 days off.
So, Evan, it's only Tuesday of this week.
Last I checked.
So, man, we talking about that. Wow. Like, that's up in the air.
Well, they're going to Vegas to play the Raiders, I guess. He's already skipping ahead to next week. I'm sorry. That doesn't sound like he...
It's close. I'm not panicking for Niner fans. I'm just like, I don't know why everything I've been reading, I guess, on The Athletic, The Examiner, The Chronicle, I assume Bosa was ahead of Kittle. I just thought that was like, oh, yeah, Bosa's ready to go. And we had people on, oh, yeah, he's doing this or that. But now it was like, okay, maybe he is on the Mykal Williams track. It'll be a little while.
Yeah, I mean, their injuries are different, ACL versus Achilles, but.
Just not there for week one, you know?
I didn't feel confident a few weeks ago when Nick Bosa hadn't logged a full participation in practice that he'd be available week one against the Rams. I feel more strongly now. I feel like every time Kyle Shanahan talks about it, I think I feel more confident that Nick Bosa is not going to be on the field against the Rams.
And you know what? To that point, and this for the gamblers in the back, shout out Prize Picks. But damn, Evan, you told me before the show, I believe the line's 2.5. You know, if you're into the spreads and gambling. But my goodness, I can tell you McDuffie's going to be out there for the Rams. Nacua, Myles Garrett, their new toy, Stafford. Those guys are going to be there. And if we're being fair, we got some question marks in regard to who's going or not going to be out there for the Niners and their big names, Kittle and Bosa.
I think he's the biggest one right now. To me, Nick Bosa has officially jumped George Kittle as the biggest concern heading into the beginning of this season.
I ain't mad at you.
You know, George Kittle is very important to the run game, to what they do in the passing game. In the red zone, he was Brock Purdy's number one red zone target last year. He's huge. There's no doubt. But if this defense is going to resemble any form of its former self, Nick Bosa, he doesn't have to just be out there. He's got to be Nick Bosa.
Man, I call that the Whopper, two patties. Like, there's two scoreboards. You just being healthy to be out there, and then what are you compared to, you know, what Kenny was talking about when he was DPOY and was putting up monster numbers?
If I set an over-under on 9.5 sacks for Bosa this year, right now, how are you feeling?
I would ask you before, look, your boy's growing up right before your eyes.
I don't like that.
Even though I'm older than you, how many games is he playing?
That's not the point.
Oh, yes. How many games?
That's not the point.
But we'll say 17.
No, I don't think he's going to play 17 games. That means he's got to be on the field against the Rams.
But what number was in your heart in regard to the sack total? Sound like 9.5?
I think 9.5 is a good number.
I think you got to get that. You got to get to 10. And even some might be like, what's going on with that? That's a reality. But
I would lean under. I would lean under.
Then how are they going to cause havoc on the QB, man?
Well, there's no way they can be worse than last year.
Well, and they won 12 games.
That's what I'm saying. It's if they don't have a guy
like
who's
107
four
for the
sacks,
Giants, man.
And maybe some of that's just going to be Raheem Morris.
Yeah.
There's someone on the text line saying, you know, why not give Raheem Morris the same benefit of the doubt you gave Saleh? I mean, I haven't seen Raheem Morris run a 49ers defense.
Well, we know the secondary's happy that Morris is on the scene as opposed to Saleh.
Yeah, they're happy now.
And we exactly. But if you get no pass rush, man.
Maybe I'm weird. It was weird to me.
That was super weird.
You won 12 games and you're mad because...
Wow.
Come on, man.
And now, with that, Evan, I felt like they were kind of insinuating, oh, we were getting passed on because we were in. He had us in there. I couldn't be myself. That's why I thought it was week two. But we'll see.
Ken is telling me that the official number for Nick Bosa is 10.5. Mm. So I thought it'd be 9.5. I would take the under. Real quick, here's another update. This is on Mike Evans, who was on the side today. It's kind of been in and out, more in precautionary manner during practice. And I think it was listed as a quad, but Shanahan had a different update.
Mike had his groin is tight, hoping to get back him back next week also.
So over the weekend, it was a quad, and now Shanahan is saying it's his groin that's keeping him out. So he'll be back next week. I mean, he wasn't going to play against the Raiders anyway.
I got it, E. But, you know, today it's grown. Does that thing flare up in 2, 3 weeks, 4, 5 weeks? So I'm not going to panic. I'll just wait to week one. And again, you're right. It's a preseason game. Nothing to see here this week. But, man, you know, you want stuff like that kind of out the way. And that's why the sport is so hard. It doesn't work that way, right? You never know.
Well, Mike Evans... It's tough because he's been a model of consistency.
No doubt.
Carfax
is great.
Career.
Up until last year.
You are correct. But is that the beginning of the end? Or is that just a blip on the radar? That's what he has to prove this year. And I will say, I understand why they're, you know, just kind of taking it easy with him in camp. But there's been a lot of nagging injuries with Mike Evans, and that's something that tends to happen to players who are older.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not just one big one, although a lot of Warriors fans are thinking about Jimmy Butler. I think it's usually just a lot of small stuff. All right, we got the crossover coming up next, brought to you by Bay Alarm. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. Willard and Dibs coming up next on the other side. That segment was brought to you by...
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.